This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning and welcome. The Direct Line's Wayne Kent joins us each and every Wednesday morning. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Brian. It's good to chat with you today. Welcome to Wednesday.
Yes. We noticed Nick and I were lamenting the fact that it's a little darker out this morning as we start to maybe begin to see the change of the season, as tough as that is to believe.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that. I'm a summer guy. Yeah. I love summer. Fall is fine. Spring is fine. Winter is awful.
All right. So, well, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. All right. We talked about this yesterday. I wanted to get your take on it. A pastor in Tennessee who told his congregation any of them show up with masks, he's kicking them out.
Oh, for crying out loud. Sometimes. Give it a rest.
Listen, Wayne, he says because he's sick of it. You know.
Well, we're all sick of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just sometimes, I'm beyond the pale. Can you tell I'm a little bit stunned? I don't know what to even say.
No, I don't. Not that you would have anything to say. It's ridiculous. And it's not, you know, anything that you need to answer for. I don't think I've in my life seen quite the political strain into the church as I'm seeing today. It's almost like politics have become our religion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd certainly say Christianity is not our religion as a nation. That's probably a broad statement, but nonetheless, no, politics is the, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed by Christians on the right, Christians on the left. I'm disappointed by their just inability to extend grace to each other. Here we are, we're supposedly the religion, the faith on the face of the earth that pronounces grace, that we are Christians by virtue of the grace of God extended to us in Jesus Christ. And it would appear that we failed to remember that.
Yeah.
The last year has erased that memory.
And has it been a long time coming and just accelerated through this entire COVID thing? I find it hard to believe that a lot of people I know just changed overnight.
No, I think, when you put things under pressure, you begin to see what people are really made of. And COVID is a pressure box. It's an awful experience. Who are we kidding? I've had moments in life where you go, oh, this is just not good. They tend to be fairly short in duration. At least that's my experience. Now, I have friends and people who've suffered with major illnesses for years and decades. But in terms of the culture and as a nation or the world, this has been miserable. And then the misery, I know we've got here in Illinois, 70% of people or so have had their first shot and so forth and so on, but it's still miserable. Think about 2 years ago when you left your house every morning driving in a car, did you wonder, okay, where's my mask? Did that never even occur to any of us?
Yeah, but the thing is, Wayne, with all of that said, and you're right about all of it, I've not blamed anybody else for it. This is the thing I don't understand, is that 70% in Illinois, we're at like 39% in Macon County. So when you look out at your flock this weekend, 60% of those folks are not vaccinated.
It does not make sense to me, Brian. It really doesn't. It seems to be a disconnect that I don't know how. I want to blame someone, but there again, that's problematic because then you got to blame somebody for COVID. I want to blame somebody for people's responses. And I don't know that there's any blame other than it's going to take history. It's going to take 15, 20, 30 years from now before someone will be able to look back and say, this was the trigger and this is what happened. And history always does that. History is much more helpful in hindsight in terms of figuring out exactly what went on.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. That doesn't save anybody's life today, though. White evangelicals are more likely to follow debunked claims. This conspiracy stuff, the election was stolen, QAnon, all the way down the road, white evangelicals are way higher than every other part of the population about believing these claims.
That may be the case. Certainly there are some studies that are pointing that direction, and why I have no idea. I really don't. Other than is there something within our ethos as a group that we feel slighted or we feel like misrepresented from time to, you know, with regularity to the point where we're mistrustful. I wonder about that.
I don't think there's any doubt that the former president milked that for everything he could.
Absolutely.
They're coming for your stuff, you know, your status, your place in this country. I mean, everything was coded in that language. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, I would say that that's correct. Let me venture into a topic here with some trepidation, and that is, I wonder what life would have been like if Barack Obama. Now, let me back up by saying I'm not discounting the statement you just made about Donald Trump, but I wonder what life would be like today if Barack Obama had done a few things differently. If he had, he had the goodwill of the entire nation, even people who may not have voted for him. When he went into office, it was like, okay, we may have erased, or not erased, but we have made progress over this national sin called racism and this national sin of underdogs not being able to get to the top. And we all had such hope for that, and I don't know that he played that really well.
All right, I would suggest to you, I don't know, I mean, once again, history will grade the performance. There was plenty of stuff from Donald Trump even then with the birther stuff. It wasn't enough to disagree with Barack Obama. You had to hate him in certain circles. So, I mean, I don't know that we had any kind of unity around that election for people that didn't vote for him.
Yeah, but I just wish he had done a few things differently, and consequently, would we be in the same place today? Now, again, you can't throw all the blame on one guy. You can't throw all the blame on Barack Obama anymore. You can throw all the blame on Donald Trump. How do they spin the wheel? How do they manage it?
We're not going to get the answer to that this morning.
No, we're not.
We're going to agree on the percentages there, and I'd say that's about a 98-2 percentage blame factor in my world. Facebook, letting religious groups charge users $10 per month for exclusive content. There you go. You guys just become a Facebook church.
We should. Yeah. There you go. You'd have to...
I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, are you a little, you said trepidatious is a good word, about Facebook getting into the religion business?
Yeah. Well, you know, since they've done community chat so well.
Yeah.
There's always a way, I guess this is the cynic in me, there's always a way to make a buck. There's always a way to make a buck, and there's always a way to make a buck when it comes to religion, sadly.
All right, but is a monthly subscription something you think most Christians are looking to pay for religion?
No, I don't think so, no. Because frankly, if for those who are followers of Christ who participate in a church, they know there's an expectation that the subscription, if you will, is a monthly tithe. Which is frankly a whole lot more than $10 a month to be part of some group on Facebook.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what's the new look like for you guys, though? I mean,
The biggest shift for, particularly for smaller churches, is they've had to figure out how to do online giving. That is probably COVID definitely caused every church to figure that out. If they hadn't had that figured out, then they were going to be in trouble. And so there was a dramatic increase in online giving, probably for our congregation. People would be stunned at the percentage of giving that comes online versus in the, we don't even pass the plate anymore.
No passing the plate. Wow.
No passing the plate. There's a box at the back. Now, part of that was driven by COVID.
Yeah.
But additionally, we're just going, this feels weird to be passing the plate. And frankly, it's so often empty being passed from one person to another because most people are giving online. So we'd had the discussion before COVID. Do we really need to pass the plate? That seems odd. And so when COVID came along, obviously that pushed that made the decision. But I don't think we'll ever go back to passing the plate. There's no need for it.
Yeah, some things have changed forever. But the question is, like, does the business model work? I mean, can everybody be a super church or be a much larger church by going, you know, online and getting $10 a head versus much larger amounts for a smaller congregation? What do you think all that shakes out to look like in the, you know, 5 years from now?
I don't think it works.
Okay.
I really don't. It's Well, you can tell you've got me going to, with two topics today, which I'm rather speechless. I would say it just doesn't work because people, their faith is not tied to money per se. I mean, they're not willing to pay for their faith input. Maybe. I mean, you 100 years ago, to think that people would be part of a subscription service to get music online or Christian music online, or you know, in the mail when tapes would come in the mail or LPs would come in the mail, that sort of stuff. All that worked in Christian work, so maybe in the Christian world as well as the secular world, so maybe it will work. It's not something I've thought of.
I wonder, though, they said that the company, actually Facebook, issued a prayer tool in May. I don't even know what that means.
Well, that's scary.
I think it's perfect for Christians in 2021 because you can like just hate on everybody and then go hit your prayer tool, you know, all in one place.
Oh, I wonder what would happen if you and I spent 3 hours together today, if we'd become cynics even more to the greater degree than we are.
I'm not, there's nothing cynical about it. This is just what I witness on a day in and day out basis. It's realistic.
My take on it is, you know, the world is moving on. I am not a cynic. I am a person who sees the world. You know, life is the glass is half full, and what are we going to do? And you know, we're gonna see a lot of really cool things happen. But along the way, there are moments where you just go, "Oh, I just can't believe we're doing this," you know, or "I can't believe that person's doing that," or it's kind of just roll your eyes sort of thing, and you say, "I better not let people see me roll my eyes, but I'd like to roll my eyes right now."
Yeah, or worse. All right, what's coming up tonight at 5 o'clock?
Well, as you know, we have Shane Brandel is taking over as the interim police chief down this weekend for the city of Decatur. And he's going to be in the studio with us. We're going to have a visit with him and see what's going on because the state of policing is in such desperate need of care and some support from the community, and we'll be pushing that. That's not, you know, I have a number of dear friends who are police officers, and man, they are living a life that is so difficult at present.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
If you think about people who have reason to be cynical, it would be the men and women who are on the front lines for us in these areas. And you know, I think you're aware that the three evening shows, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Soy City Buzz, Dale Coley, and then Direct Line. We're sponsoring meals at Doherty's right now for any officer who's on duty. They can go in there and get a meal free through the end of the year. And it's just one way in which we're saying, hey, you know, as you're working throughout the day, don't worry about food. We got you covered. It's a small gesture, but it's one way in which we are trying to personally say we're behind you guys. And so we'll chat about that, but more so what's he see coming down the pike for the future of the police department in Decatur and policing in general. I'm very interested in that.
All right, good stuff. 5 o'clock tonight, the Direct Line. If you miss it live, you can listen to the podcast at notdecatur.com. Anything else going on in the world? Well, I mean, there's plenty of stuff. Are you an Olympics fan? Do you root for Australia, Canada, U.S.?
Well, there's some funny stories that come out of the Olympics. Like, did you see the story of this guy who is a Norwegian? He won the triathlon, but the story about him winning the triathlon in the gold is not so much that he won, but what he wore. It's things like that. I guess their uniform was they were going to wear these white leotard type things, you know. And as he was sweating, it got more and more translucent. So as he crossed the finish line, he flashed the whole world. And unfortunately, that's what people remember versus what that he won the gold. It's things like that that always interest me when it comes to Olympics.
All right. Nick and I were talking about, obviously, the big story with Simone Biles. Is the church doing enough for mental health? I mean, just overall?
I think we are certainly fully aware of it. I mean, there's not a day that goes by where you don't have a member of the congregation or somebody where you're dealing with somebody's issues of mental health. I have a number of settings right now where it is, and we are just very concerned about you, about how you're managing. Certainly, when we deal with people regarding their faith, part of their faith always is not only their physical well-being, but their emotional and mental well-being. And so if you think about it this way, preaching and speaking into the lives of people about how to live their lives is often partly, here's a new life approach, here's a way in which you can rethink what you're doing. we are about to step into a new role at DMH. We have responsibility for all the chaplains there, and I've been very concerned about the mental health and well-being of all the staff at DMH. That's part of the charter that we were given by the hospital. So we are about to move our chaplaincy department and moving one of our chaplains to working exclusively for the evening and nighttime shifts, focused particularly on staff, not patients. Patients see chaplains during the day, and during the night, you hope they're sleeping. So for the sake of the mental health of the people at the hospital, beginning the next couple of weeks, we've got a new staff member coming on board just to deal with that. So, yeah, we are absolutely engaged in the life, in the mental health demands and needs of the people of our congregation and our ministry as a whole. We're doing it well is a different matter, but nonetheless, we're still working on it.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you think that we're getting past some of the stigma? I mean, 1 in 5, Wayne. I mean, this is a gigantic problem. And the dirty little secret is, you know, medically speaking, there's not even close to enough resources.
No, they're not, which is, I mean, again, which we're saying, right, well, you know, we can do this. We can provide some prayer support and some, you know, somebody to chat with just with the staff members of a hospital. Because if it's 1 in 5, it's 1 in 5 staff members at a hospital. And since that's our responsibility as a church to the hospital, then we're going to step into that. And I would say it's not so much being driven by the, if you will, the increased spotlight on mental health of late days lately, but more so for us, it's a response to, hey, this is what Christians should do. Christians should run toward the mess. That's my understanding. That is really one of the focal points of our congregation. We don't run away from things. We run toward the mess. In the process, we get messy. I mean, people's lives get sometimes are really, really hard and really, really troublesome. And you know, it's like they vomit all over you, and you have to be willing to say, if you're a follower of Christ, particularly those of us in ministry, we got to manage. We got to hold the bag. We got to go in there and say, how can I help? I know that's not what everybody's called to. It's certainly what I'm called to, though. Running toward the messes, it's hard, but there's a lot of mess in people's lives.
Wayne, we appreciate it. We'll see you tonight at 5:00. Have a great day. Wayne Kent and the host of Direct Line. Like I said, if you don't get it live tonight, you can check out the podcast at nauticator.com.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.